You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, all the issues covering down on them. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Tuesday. Tuesday all day long, and Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm making it.
just making it?
Yeah, making it. It's a good day.
Okay, making it. As long as you're making it, we're working. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you, too. So at 3 o'clock today, Jeff Poor, who comes on the show pretty regularly, does the Grand Council with us on Wednesdays, that kind of thing. I was on his show this morning. I said, dude, you got to come on mine today, too. So he's coming on at 3 o'clock today. We're going to talk about some things that are happening down yonder in Montgomery on Goat Hill, the State House. And we'll cover all those kind of details with Jeff Poor at 3 o'clock. It falls right in line, though, with the Triple Dipper, so hit it.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that we're going to go with as we run today's show. Number one, it's time. We got to do it. We got to cook up a little home fries. We got a whole slew of stuff laid on. Boomer, do you even have a sound effect for it this time? Are we gonna be like sound effect friendly on home fries?
Maybe.
All right, we'll get the sizzle going. Home fries, all the news around here. What's happening around your home, your communities, right here in the state of Alabama. So number one, Triple Dipper, home fries. Number two, probably one of the most amazing developing stories is the ongoing saga of China. All right, China Rising is number two on the Triple Dipper. China Rising is, this is our, and they often call it a near peer adversary. Conflict in this case would be what they called Great War Conflict. We don't want that. It's bad, obviously. But we're going to talk about the things that are developing right now with major emphasis being put on, you know, public relations and domestic relations and international relations and military relations with China. So, yeah, China Rising, number two on the Triple Dipper. Stay tuned for that one. And then number three, man, I know we got a sound effect for this one, Kakistocracy. Kakistocracy, a word that was given to me by a friend not long ago. It's a real word, Kakistocracy. It actually means a government run by the least competent of its members. Wow. Well, I got stories that'll just boggle your mind, like, what's going on with Pete Buttigieg and why are they talking about racist roads again? All that kind of stuff. Kakistocracy. You guys stay tuned for that one. It'll be good. Well, all right. Well, let me jump over to my monologue, my opening comments for the day. And I'll start by telling you, I used to do a lot of backpacking back in the day. I love the outdoors, still do. And to me, one of the richest times in life is sitting with friends around a campfire after a solid day's hike. My favorite is actually winter backpacking. I love being out in the cold. There's no mosquitoes then. But I've been out in some ice storms that rocked our world. I've been above the tree line in the Rockies, spent time in the Smokies and along the lower Appalachian Trail. With winter backpacking, it's a bit different. The temperatures, the threats of inclement weather means you have to carry more, right? You get into that first fine line of how much to carry, knowing you don't want to freeze to death, but then again, you don't want to carry so much, you create a different kind of misery. But I usually erred on the side, me personally, of carrying just one more thing. And yes, sometimes it was hard. But having had frostbite in my military past, I was determined not to be in that position. So my rule, and yes, it was a rule, was this. Quote, you can always take off what you don't need, but you can't put on what you don't have. It's a good rule. Dry socks, an extra shirt, my favorite fleece. It may take more to get those things to the campsite, but once you're there, they make it all the better. But I also know, though, what it means to go without. I know what it means to be in a hard place doing hard things without the right gear, and it ain't good. In 2004, I was in Baghdad during the era of soft-sided Humvees. There is zero protection from a canvas door, I assure you. All the canvas door did was make some of the dust and direct sun kind of stay off of us, nothing more. My team was initially task-organized under an infantry battalion of the 1st Armored Division, and all they drove was soft-sided vehicles. And then we began to branch out, and we hired local Iraqi labor to cut steel and hang them on the hinges. Except they were too heavy for the hinges, had a tendency to break off, so we had to put reinforced hinges on as well. But they had no glass. They were just steel doors, but at least it felt better. Just like half steel doors. And then we contracted with local labor again to build steel shells for the truck beds of some of our Humvees, which was cool, but it overwhelmed the suspension. And the Humvees would literally drive with their noses in the air because of all the rear weight. So then we had to beef up the suspensions. By the time we got these things all steeled up, it was like a bunch of vehicles from a Mad Max movie. But we just took to calling them Jed Clampets. Jed Clampets, after the junky old truck they drove on the Beverly Hillbillies sitcom. That old rule about you can take off what you don't need, but you can't put on what you don't have, well, it was getting some serious use. That rule is true. And we couldn't put on anymore. We just didn't have what we needed. But then came the changeover, and the 1st Armored Division transitioned out of the battle space, and my team was assigned to an infantry battalion under the 1st Cavalry Division. And every one of those Muldoons came to town in brand-new, up-armored Humvees complete with ballistic glass, hardened body shells, and reinforced suspensions, and of all things, air conditioning. Our Jed Clampets looked pretty sad sitting next to those armored Cadillacs. But back at home, my sweet wife was praying. Literally, I'm not kidding. My sweet wife was praying. She was literally praying that God would put me in an armored vehicle. Somehow she knew the deal, and she also knew what was available, and she was praying like only a military spouse knows how to pray. Lord, bless Phil with an armored vehicle. So one day on the FOB, maybe a month after the new battalion had taken over, I was in the battalion talk, and the XO, the executive officer, he hollered at me to come by his office. His name was Major Ed Tangy, a really good guy from Oregon. So I headed down the hall, came in to see him. He asked a few questions about my team's operations, the level of effort we were applying to do things for the battalion to shape the battle space in and among the civilian population. He asked where we'd been most recently, and then he sort of seemed surprised to hear how often we were outside the wire. Little did I know that within the battalion, the line companies, they rotated their time off the FOB, but the XO looked at me and said, "But you guys roll out the gate pretty much every single day." "Roger that," I said. And then you could have knocked me down with a feather. He said, "Well, then I'm giving you my up-armored Humvee." I kid you not. We couldn't put any more rigged-up, homespun fake armor on our old Jet Clampets. But now we didn't have to. The XO treated us like one of his own, gave us his personal armored vehicle, with air conditioning, no less. And soon thereafter, I sent Charlene a picture of me standing in front of my new fancy up-armored Humvee holding a sign that read, "Happy Mother's Day." It was the best Mother's Day gift I could have sent her. And later on, when that car bomb went off that VBIED next to my convoy, I was doubly glad we had it. But that experience reinforced for me the idea that our troops should never have to be without. They should not be faced with the decision of whether or not to have to over-modify their gear. It's one thing to go buy your own holster or special thermal insulated long johns, right? But no soldier should have to bet their life on subpar or, for that matter, obsolete gear. The United States has the greatest military on the face of the earth, and as a result, we have the largest military budgets in the history of forever. But our men and women deserve it. Is there waste, fraud, and abuse in the efforts made by the military-industrial complex? Yeah, absolutely there is. And that's why conservatives have got to step in and provide the kind of accountability that's needed. But we also need to stop wasting time and spending precious defense dollars on woke ideologies and feel-good, green energy-compliant facilities, pushing to make our military vehicles compatible with the latest net-zero emissions ideologies. I fully expect that gas stoves are not going to be allowed in future mess halls the way we're going, that the military is going to have first sergeants conducting inspections on a Friday night to make sure that only LED bulbs are being used. And somewhere every day of the year, there's going to be some young trooper who gets less time on a firing range or less time in his combat vehicle or less time servicing a helicopter because it's imperative that they spend precious training time attending seminar-style briefings on the dangers of not being gender-friendly, or why co-ed showers in the barracks are really not a big deal. We need to give the men and women who serve in this greatest of militaries the gear and the training that they need to fight and win. We need to increase both lethality and survivability. Stop fluffing up the budgets with unnecessary social experimentation and get back to training and equipping warriors. Because the bottom line is, they can always take off what they don't need. But our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, they cannot put on what they don't have. Let's give them what they need. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I'm telling you, it was an incredible experience. It also solidified for me going to war when you're not equipped for it is never a good thing. But I will say this. We caught up. We caught up, and we got things in place, and we got to do a better job of making sure the next go-round that things are already in place before we start. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So, man, we got some stuff laid on for today. I'm kind of excited about these topics. I don't say excited like, oh, I love talking about China rising up, but I'm just saying I'm excited about the level of content we have here. But
I am too.
Well, thank you.
I am. After doing the resources and stuff, I'm like, oh man, it's going to be a good informational day.
Yeah, it's got depth.
Yes, lots of depth.
Unfortunately, there has to be depth in some of the bad news stories too. But there's just that. But I tell you what else I'm excited about. Your little man's got a baseball game tonight.
Ooh, baseball game tonight.
Who are the Tigers playing tonight?
I don't know. Maybe the Bananas. I don't know what they're
playing. The Bananas.
Who knows?
There better not be a team called the Bananas.
Well, you know, there's Savannah Bananas.
That's right. What am I saying?
Yeah, and they're awesome.
They're Savannah Bananas. Well, hilarious. You know what? That's true. The minor league teams have got some weird names.
They got some fun
names. We got our Huntsville Trash Pandas.
Yes.
We got the Montgomery Biscuits.
Awesome. Two great names in Alabama. Yeah.
And then Savannah Bananas.
And you got the Barons.
Yeah, the Barons.
Mm-hmm.
What's down in Mobile? The Bay Bears?
Bay Bears?
I think it's the Bay Bears.
It's fun. Be. That's just awesome.
That's good
stuff. Names.
Text lines are open, by the way, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT, which, by the way, some of y'all are already hitting that text line. JT from Lacey Springs says, talking about my monologue, he says, I know the Clampett truck. It was a 1921 Oldsmobile based on the Model 43A. Yes, and it was probably more bulletproof than the original Jed Clampett that I had in Baghdad. So there's that. Tony from Piedmont says, my goodness, hillbilly armor got me in trouble for taking outside the wire to deliver an incoming SEAL team there back at base camp in 05. And hillbilly armor, though, man, you got to do what you got to do, right? So, yeah, that hillbilly armor was something else. Jed Clampett's, we called him. Dave from Huntsville says, bravo to Phil and Charlene. Praise God for providing his protection. So many things would have been different over the years and today if he had not protected you. Thank God for praying parents, wives, and husbands. David, I totally agree, man. Thank you for that. Brian from Huntsville, I'm trying to. He's telling me something about a beach. Hang on, what do we got here, Brian from Huntsville? I don't know what he's telling me, but I will go back to yours and try to figure it out there and decipher it. Brian, I apologize. John from Huntsville. Oh well, thank you, John. John says that was one of the best monologues ever. He says, by the way, I love watching the Beverly Hillbillies. Especially Ellie Mae, played by the beautiful Donna Douglas. Yep. I think they're all gone now. I think all of the members of the cast are now gone. Or maybe the last one was Max Baer, was the guy who played Jethro. He was actually the son of the boxer, Max Baer, I believe. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee. I've always said and believe that no matter how you feel about the situation our military's in, you give them everything, all caps, they need to complete their mission and return home safely. Yes, sir. Roger that. Raven from Russell says, think about it, Colonel. All our high-speed gear was made by the lowest bidder. And that is, we find ourselves saying that several times. And I'm going to tell you, too, man, I'll never forget when we first got our jacked-up Jed Clampett's, which we had to add more onto, by the way. When we first got them, we did a battle handoff from the outgoing unit. And then for some reason, some some bookkeeper decided, no, you had a switch. So we had to bring them back in 2 days later and swap them with another unit. Like, why that made a difference, I never could understand it. I actually had somebody tell me we had to return our ammo by lot number. And I said, yeah, that's not going to happen. Well, why not? Because we burned some of it, and this is not going to happen. How many rounds do you want? I'll give you what I got. I don't want any of them. And the guy was like, well, we have to have back my lot number. Well, good luck. Send them to the war zone and then tell them you got to return your bullets back in by lot number. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
But yeah, so we're getting these vehicles, those Jed Clampets from the other unit. And then we had to swap. And so I sort of, you know, sometimes you can sort of smell something happening.
Yes.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So we had to park our vehicles, go inside, start doing some paperwork. And something told me I need to go back outside. And by golly, I found Joe out there with a wrench trying to take the good seats out of my Humvee. And I said, I put him at parade rest. What are you doing? Sir, this was my Humvee, and I stole those seats fair and square out of another vehicle. I want them back. And I said, well, by God, two wrongs don't make you right, so you better leave my equipment alone. Anyway, it's crazy things that happen. But that was the thing that really got me, was just how much stuff we had to replace once we got there.
Hmm.
And you know, soft-sided Humvees, they were good for nothing except driving somebody across the fob to, you know, bring chow back to the unit or something. Who knows? But anyway, all that to say, Charlene prayed. Next thing I know, I had a fully up-armored Humvee. Proud of it. Moon Pie from Madison just texted in. He said it was the... Oh, he says the Bay Bears are the ones who moved up here and became the Trash Pandas. I had forgotten that. That's right. I think he's right. Yeah, because we used to have the Huntsville Stars back in the day. Played at Star Stadium right there on the parkway. Saw some good games there. Now they got the new field, and they brought them in and renamed them, and that was the big thing, was how do you name them? And I remember thinking, Trash Pandas? Come on. That's what we got, is the Trash Pandas.
I love it.
We couldn't come up with, like, the Rockets or, you know, or something. It's the Rocket City. But then I got, like, you know what? That's kind of growing on me, the Trash Pandas.
I like it.
And if you get down to it, the character from Guardians of the Galaxy is a trash panda named Rocket. And he carries a gun.
And he carries it. Is he a trash panda?
Isn't he? Yeah.
Or is he a raccoon?
Well, that's what a trash panda is.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I guess he is. So you're right. So, but man, I just love that name.
Yeah. So
all their merchandise and stuff. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan of the trash pandas. I got a shirt and a hat to prove it.
This is gun.
All right. Listen, we got, yeah, exactly right. That's what they need to do. They need to have the Trash Panda character toting around a space weapon.
Ooh, yes.
Come on. Guardians of the Galaxy. Wesley from Rockford, Alabama just texted in and says, I served in Iraq in 2004. We didn't have time to put the steel boxes on our gun trucks. We got lumber and built double-sided wood boxes with pockets and put sandbags in the pockets. Man, I believe it, brother. You know what? And by the way, thank you for your service, but I'll tell you right now, we found out the hard way, too, that if something blasts through that, it brings sand, like, and sand turns into shrapnel. Kind of crazy. Anyway, all right, you guys. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back with number one on the Triple Dipper, Home Fries.